Falling felt natural to a coin shot. That sudden moment of acceleration, gut lurching, but spirit leaping. The rush of wind, the chill of mist on the skin. He opened his eyes to spinning white upon black, mist dancing about him, inviting, eager. All Allomancers shared a bond with the mists, but the other types never knew the thrill of jumping through them, of nearly becoming one of them. During moments like this, Wax understood the Ascendant Warrior. Vin, they rarely called her by name. Her title, like those of the other Preservers, was used to show reverence. The Historica, a section of the Words of Founding, said she had melded with the mists. She had taken them upon herself, becoming their guardian as they became her essence. As the survivor watched over all who struggled, Vin watched over those in the night. Sometimes he felt he could see her form in their patterns. Slight of frame, short hair splayed out as she moved, mist cloak fluttering behind her. It was a fancy, wasn't it? Wax slammed a bullet into the ground and pushed on it to stop his descent. He hit the street in front of the building lobby, going down on one knee. Nearby, some hopefuls still waited to be allowed into the party.
I haven't even murdered your father yet.
Rusts. Could she mean Steris's father, his soon-to-be father-in-law?
Where? Someone fell before me. Where did he go?
There was nobody. Just that.
The man pointed to a smashed chair.
Bleeder might be a coin shot now.
Wax ran toward the motor car, hoping it was her. But she wouldn't need one if that were the case. Maybe she'd chosen the ferrochemical power to change her weight so she could drift down on the wind. Wax launched himself upward, watching the steel lines for movement. In the mists, ordinary vision was of limited use, but Steel Sight's blue lines pierced the mists like arrows. He could easily make out the motor car speeding away, but he didn't know for certain Bleeder was in it. He took a moment to watch the movements of other vehicles nearby. A carriage pulled to a stop one street away. He could tell from the way the lines quivered, those would be the metal fittings on the horse's harness. People on foot walked slowly along Tindwa Promenade. Nothing suspicious. Decision made, he pushed against some street lamps, sending himself after the speeding motor car. He bounded from lamp to lamp, then launched himself over the top of a building as the motor turned a corner. Wax crested the building in a rush of swirling mists, passing only a few feet over the top. Wax landed on the far edge of the rooftop, then leaped down as the motor passed below.
This will not work out as well as you hoped, Bleeder.
Wax increased his weight, then pushed on the motor from above. He didn't crush the person inside. He couldn't be absolutely sure he had the right quarry. His carefully pressed weight did pop the wheels, then squashed the roof down just enough to bend the metal doors in their housings. Even if Bleeder had access to enhanced speed, she wouldn't be getting out through those doors. Wax landed beside the motor car, vindication out and pointed through the window at a confused man wearing a cabbie's coat.
Motor car cabbies? When did that start happening?
He got out! Two streets back! Told me to keep driving! Didn't even let me stop as he jumped!
Wax kept perfectly still, gun right at the cabbie's forehead.
It could be Bleeder. She can change faces.
Please, I...
Damn it! Harmony, is it him?
Wax was returned, a vague sense of uncertainty. Harmony didn't know. Wax lifted his gun away from the frightened driver, trusting his gut.
Where did you let him off?
Tate Street!
Go to the 4th Octon Precinct Station. Wait for me or constables I send. We'll likely have questions for you. Once I'm satisfied, we'll buy you a new motor.
Wax pushed himself into the air to the corner of Tage and Gwillem, which put him at the edge of a maze of industrial alleyways linking warehouses with the docks where canal boats unloaded. Steel sight on and pushing bubble up, he crept through the mists, but didn't have much hope. He'd have a devil of a time finding one man alone here in the dark. All Bleeder had to do was pick one place and hide there. Many criminals didn't make the wise choice in this situation, however. It was hard to remain perfectly still, not moving any metal, while an Allomancer prowled about looking for you. Wax persisted, walking down a dark alleyway, checking the rope at his waist, making sure he could unwind it quickly in case Bleeder was a coin shot or a lurcher, and he needed to dump his metals. Soon, the mists filling in behind him made him feel as if he were in an endless corridor, vanishing into nothingness in both directions. Above, as well, only dark, swirling mists. Wax stopped in an empty intersection, silent warehouses like leviathans slumbering in the deep on all four corners, only one of which held a streetlight. He looked about with steel sight, waiting, counting heartbeats. Nothing. Either the cabbie had been Bleeder in disguise, or Wax's prey had slipped away. Wax lowered his gun. One of the large warehouse doors fell outward, revealing a dozen men. Wax felt a sweeping wave of relief. He hadn't lost his quarry. He'd simply been led into a trap.
Damn.
Wax leveled Vindication and pulled his Sterion from his hip. He pushed on the man in the same movement, which flung him backward toward the cover of a half-finished building. Unfortunately, the men opened fire before he arrived. Wax's steel bubble deflected a number of the shots, bending them away to cut empty air. One, however, clipped him on the arm. Wax's push slammed him against an incomplete wall. He fired a shot into the ground, then pushed on it, backflipping himself over the brick wall and behind cover. Wax dropped a gun and pressed his left hand to the underside of his right upper arm with a flare of pain and blood. As the men on the other side of the wall kept firing, Wax noticed that some of the bullets didn't have blue lines.
Aluminum bullets.
Bleeder was far better funded than Wax had expected.
Why keep firing so rapidly?
Were they trying to bring the wall down with the force of their shots?
No. They're trying to hold my attention so I can be flanked.
Wax grabbed Vindication, holding his bleeding arm as he raised it. It hurt, just as several shadows wearing no metal ducked into the other side of the building site. Wax plugged the first one in the head, then dropped the second with a shot to the neck. Three others knelt, raising crossbows. Something pulled one of them into the shadows. Wax took care of the second man, then turned his gun toward the third to find him slumped down. Something stuck in his head. A knife?
Wayne?
Wax reloaded Vindication with bloody fingers.
Not exactly.
A tall figure crawled through the mists, moving over a pile of bricks to reach him. As she drew closer, he could make out large eyes, jet hair, and a sleekly elegant gown that was now missing the bottom half below the knees. The woman from the party, the one who had tried flirting with him. Wax flipped Vindication, reloaded, raised it up in a smooth motion, pointing it at the woman's head. The bullets outside stopped pounding the wall.
Oh, please. Why would I save you if I were an enemy?
Because you could be Bleeder. Anyone could.
You're hurt. How bad is that? Because we should really start running right now. They're gonna come charging in here shortly.
Damn, not much choice. Trust her and potentially die, or not trust her and almost certainly die.
Come here.
Wax grabbed the woman and pulled her close. He pointed Vindication at the ground.
They have snipers on five roofs waiting for you to push into the mists. Aluminum bullets.
How do you know?
Overheard those fellows with the bows whispering as they moved around to come get you.
Who are you?
Does it matter right now?
No.
Can you run?
Yes. It's not as bad as it looks.
Wax took off, the woman running at his side. The wound hurt like hell, but there was something about the mists. He felt stronger in them. It shouldn't be so. He was no pewter arm, but there it was. In truth, getting shot was bad, but not as bad as people often made it out to be. This shot had gone through the skin and muscle under his arm, making it difficult to raise, but he wouldn't bleed out. Most bullets wouldn't actually stop a man. Psychologically, the panic of being shot did the most harm. The two of them charged out the backside of the building, past the man with a knife in his head. Behind them, a few of the ambushers trying to get into the building took wild shots. The woman ran well despite being in a gown. Yes, she'd ripped off the bottom half, but she still seemed to run too easily without seeming to break a sweat or breathe deeply. Blue lines ahead. Wax grabbed Malon by the arm, yanking her to the side into an alleyway as a group of four men burst out of a cross street leveling guns.
Rusts!
Wax peeked around the corner. This short alleyway ended at a wall. The thugs had him surrounded.
How many men does Bleeder have?
These can't be Bleeder's men. How could she have recruited such an army? In the past, she's always worked on her own.
Wax looked at her sharply. How much did she know about all this?
We're gonna have to fight.
Malon reached to her chest, where her gown exposed considerable cleavage. Waxillium had seen some odd things in his life. He'd visited Kolos camps in the Roughs, even been invited to join their numbers. He'd met and spoken with God himself, and had received a personal gift from Death. That did not prepare him for the sight of a pretty young woman's chest turning nearly transparent, one of the breasts splitting and offering up the hilt of a small handgun. She grabbed it and pulled it out.
So convenient. You can store all sorts of things in those.
Who are you?
She raised and held her gun in two hands.
The father promised you help. I'm it.
A faceless immortal.
You can trust this one.
Harmony's voice was accompanied by a sense of endlessness, a vision like he'd seen before. It was as good a confirmation as he could get that this wasn't Bleeder. Wax narrowed his eyes at the woman anyway.
Wait,
I think I know you.
We met once before tonight. I'm charmed, you remember. You want the ones in the back or the front?
At least a dozen chasing them, four ahead. He had to trust someone sometime.
I'll take the ones behind.
Such a gentleman. By the way, technically I'm not supposed to kill people. I think I already broke that rule tonight. If we happen to survive, please don't tell Tensun that I murdered a bunch of people again. It upsets him.
Sure, I can do that.
She grinned, whoever she was.
Say when to go.
Wax peeked around the corner. Dark figures moved in the mist behind them, coming up on their position. If she was right and this wasn't Bleeder, then who? Aluminum bullets. Snipers to watch for his escape. It was his uncle. Somehow Wax had been played.
Oh, Harmony.
If Bleeder and the set were working together, he tossed a bullet casing to the side against the wall to his right and held it in place with a light alimentic push. He flexed his wounded arm, then raised both guns.
Go!
Wax didn't wait to see what Melan did. He pushed against the casing, throwing himself out into the street, churning the mist. Wax increased his weight, then pushed with a sweeping blast of alimentic power. Some weapons were thrown backward and some bullets stopped in the air. Two men's weapons weren't affected by the push. Wax shot them first. They fell, and he didn't give the other men time to go for the aluminum guns. He decreased his weight greatly and pushed against the men behind him, hoping that the shove helped Melan. His push sent him into the middle of the men he was fighting. He landed, kicking one of the aluminum guns away into the mists, then lowered Vindication and drilled a thug in the head just at the ear. Wax dropped the men around him as he spun through the mists. Some came at him with dueling canes while others fell back with bows. No Allomancers that he'd spotted. In the night, he could finally prove the worth of the mist coat. Men attacked where he had been, the tassels confusing them as they churned the fog. He twisted between two of the thugs, raised a gun to either side, and fired, sending them to the ground. Then he turned and leveled both weapons at the man who had been sneaking up on him.
Both out, I believe.
He pulled the triggers anyway. The terrified man stumbled back, then paused.
He's out! Move! He's defenseless!
Wax dropped the guns as the man charged forward.
Why exactly would they assume that I need guns to be dangerous?
He reached into his coat and undid the rope at his waist. He pulled it free, draping the rope from his fingers. Renette's hook hit the ground. The man in front of him hesitated at the sound, dueling cane held nervously.
This is how it used to be done.
He yanked the rope, whipping the metal end into the air, then pushed the spike at the man's chest, letting the rope move through his fingers to give it more slack. As it hit the man's ribs, Wax yanked the rope back, holding it on a tight leash and spinning the hook through the air as he turned. He pushed again, slamming the metal into the man, raising a bow. Wax twisted and knelt, whipping the rope around. It spun before him in a grand arc, stirring the mist as he gave the rope more slack, then pushed it, slamming the spike hook past one man and into another's chest. Wax yanked the spike hook back, catching the other man on the thigh, tripping him as he came forward with a dueling cane. Wax caught the hook in one hand and turned, pushing the hook forward into the shoulder of an ambusher. Wax ripped it free with a yank, then pushed it directly back into the man's face.
One more.
Wax whirled, pulling the hook back into his hand, searching. The last man scrambled for something on the ground. He looked up, raising one of the fallen aluminum guns.
The set sends its regards.
A shadow behind him rammed a knife into his back.
Here's a tip, kid. Save the wisecracks until your foe is dead. Like this. See how easy it is.
She kicked the corpse in the face. Wax looked around at the fallen men. He held the rope tightly.
We need to move fast. I think Bleeder is going after Lord Harms.
Damn. You want to try to climb up and go after those sharpshooters?
No time.
Wax pointed down the street.
You go that way. I'll go the other way. If you get out, head back to the Counselor's Cup, a tavern over on Eden Way. I'll meet you there after I go for Lord Harms. If I or someone I send talks to you, first say the words, all yellow pants.
Sure thing.
Good luck.
I'm not the one who needs help, lawman. I'm basically bulletproof.
Melan gave him a kind of mock salute, then took off down the street, charging through the mists. Wax recovered Vindication, but didn't holster her. Instead, he grabbed one of the corpses nearby and lugged it up onto his shoulder, stuffing bullets into his pocket. Then he pulled off his gun belt. He didn't know if those sharpshooters might be metalborn, set to watch for lines of metal in the mists. Just in case, he heaved the corpse overhead and pushed, lobbing it upward through the mists. Then he pushed on his gun belt, sending it flying ahead of him down the street. Finally, he ran, chasing after the gun belt and using allomancy to knock it up and forward again as it started to fall. Wax couldn't pinpoint the origin of the gunshot. He didn't know if the sharpshooter was trying to hit the corpse, his gun belt, or him. He burst out of the alley, snatched his gun belt off the ground, then leaped, soaring over the walkway, and started falling toward the water of the canal.